This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Bree McQuaid,
Gail Moana Johnson,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Bree and Gail, you were both last year involved in something called Future Leaders.
Yes, we were. Yeah, we're both catalysts in the program.
Catalysts in the program. Okay.
So the structure of Future Leaders is that we have a coach within the eight different regions, and that the program's kind of held in, and Palmerston North being one of them. So you have a coach who is pretty much our main facilitator, instigator, and just all-round amazing person. And then catalysts kind of sit below that. So
we're still future leaders, but as catalysts we had more like mentorship and leadership roles within the future leaders group.
And then there was a lot of amazing future leaders who supported just the project that we had established as a team.
So what's the object of Future Leaders?
Is to empower youth. So get these youth together that identify issues or challenges in their community.
They do it collectively?
Yep. Okay. And from there they kind of just prototype things that could help solve this issue.
Is it a year cycle or something?
Yeah, so it started in about April and finished in around November. We had the whole process last year was through the design thinking. So you normally look into an issue or a challenge, and then through that figure out an idea which, like Gail was saying, can help work through that challenge. And it was identified the challenge was identified not only by the future leaders and people in the program, but the people from the community. And then you work through and check out those ideas and kind of whittle them down to something that's a little bit smaller that we could try prototype.
There must be some process then. You decide on some project.
Magically.
So that's the idea situation.
It's brainstorming among a group. Where are the people from? How do they get drawn into the Future Leaders program?
Oh, well, I just saw it on Facebook.
My partner told me. So a lot of it is you've got different social media channels, people are shoulder tapped, it's word of mouth.
What sort of age are they?
Between 17 to 25. Yeah. And this year I believe it's from 16 to 25.
Okay.
Because
you've got some at school and so on. They're all already showing some leadership potential, are they?
Some are. The others, it would be those who actually probably are leaders in their own way, but aren't your stereotypical type of leadership, or just actually deserve to have an opportunity to be connected more in their community.
Okay. So when you say you find a project to...
So we identify an issue, and then as a group, we had to just nominate three things or something, and we kind of just went with the one that majority voted.
So could it be business or social anything. Or environmental or artistic? Anything
so
big.
It's kind of going, what is the issue? So ours was centre belonging. There's a lack of centre belonging to our community. Where does that come from? So you've really got to look at the root cause and start building ideas of how we can change that in our community. How do we support people to then start having a sense of belonging? Where did that sense of belonging, what does that look like to them? What does belonging look like? What does community look like? And how, and then we'll start brainstorming different ideas. So we had things like a 24-hour cafe bus. We had artificial intelligence, supporting people in how to be able to engage with other people.
Yeah.
Since we have such high anxiety and anxiety rates these days, people get scared to just start a conversation with someone new. So we looked at, big ideas.
Just big ideas, but narrowing it down. Mm,
And we had to have a couple sessions working through that, going, would that actually work? What are we really truly capable of within this time frame, with what are our resources?
So how many were there in the Future Leaders Program?
In Palmerston North, there were approximately 50.
Yeah.
50?
50. Yeah. There was probably a good solid 25 that come frequently.
And you'd meet weekly or?
We'd meet monthly.
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 Yeah. And every so often it would be maybe an additional.
Yeah, catch up.
Okay. Yeah. Just to see
and
how
then
things going.
The catalyst and our coach, we video called often.
Mm.
Just to check
the
in.
The catalyst and the coach. So that it's headed by a coach.
Yep.
And then you've got catalysts who are like sort of leaders of the...
Yep.
Yeah, we try kind of, headway the whole Future Leader Project within our region a bit more and support our future leaders. So when we signed up for being a catalyst or a future leader, there's already the expectation of how much time you commit to it.
Mm.
As a future leader, you had to commit less time. Yes, you got to be part of the whole prototyping, creating the idea, and being part of the project. There's less expectations of you. And if you couldn't make it, that's okay.
It's all good.
But when you're in a catalyst, it's kind of being in a scholarship. So there was a greater expectation of what, how we were involved and how often we'd be catching up and what we'd be putting into it.
Were you given sort of guidance from outside or...?
The company that established it is called Inspiring Stories.
Mm.
So they have the creators of the Future
Is that
program.
A New Zealand company?
Created by, I can't remember his last name, but Guy.
Yeah.
He established Inspiring Stories and he created multiple amazing different projects and programs, including Future Leader Program.
Yeah.
And the... What's the conference in the middle of the year?
Festival for the Future. Yep.
And so he's an amazing entrepreneur. He has an incredible team that is also involved, the Inspiring Stories team.
So is it run as a business? You said entrepreneur. Is it run as a business?
It's run as a business, but it's a charity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does it get funding? Is it selling something or people?
Lots of amazing sponsors. So Microsoft, Microsoft and Messi were two amazing sponsors.
In what way? How did they do? Was it financial help or people
Look,
equipment?
We didn't have all the ins and out details.
No.
They
okay.
have reports. Those are the people that you want to talk to. And our focus was being part of Future Leaders, knowing that Inspiring Stories was our parent.
Okay.
Was
the council involved as well? City council?
They actually created good networks with each different region
and
they're creating the program. So we were supposed to meet up with the mayor every couple of months. I feel like anything, things don't always work out the way you hope, but we did get to catch up Mayor Grant Smith.
So you had a reasonable amount of resources to fund your activities?
Sometimes.
We
had to be creative.
Work with what we got.
Yeah. And when we did have our end of the year project, which was our Try It Out Expo, which what we came up with.
Try It Out Expo.
Yes. Yes.
So you were as a group, you started off, you worked out what to do, people being connected was important.
Yeah.
You got a project and it was just working towards this expo at the end, or were there other things on the way that you were doing?
No, I was working towards the expo.
So that was it. Yeah. That was the project. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a lot of engagement with different community groups because that was the purpose.
Yeah.
And connecting with
local
young people.
Businesses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Businesses.
Now you call it a Try It Out Expo. Yeah. What was the motivation there? What were you thinking of?
We wanted to ensure that people had the opportunity to know what was going on in their community.
Yeah.
Whether it was different sports groups, volunteering agencies, what's going on in Palmerston North, and actually bring them to a space where young people could actually engage with it and try it out, really, have the conversation, what does it look like? We also asked for the different organisations and groups to bring something that the people could interact with.
Yeah.
Sometimes it related back to what the group did, other times it was just something fun and interactive.
Okay. So you think it's sort of face-to-face type thing, well, given a younger generation that's heavily into phones and the internet and so on, You think face-to-face was the way to go?
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. And we held it at the youth space.
Mm,
yeah,
exactly.
So, yeah. So why was it, if we're finding that, I mean, even at university, students like to go online and do things and watch the lectures online and so on and communicate electronically. What made you think face-to-face was the way? There's all this talk now about social media.
Yeah.
So did you think that was, social media was, did you reject that as a way to go?
Didn't even think about that.
Nah, but we also did a lot of surveys at the beginning and we put it out to the community and asked them what they thought.
So we received their feedback and then worked through that, looked at the trends and... People like face-to-face if it's not something that they always have to instigate themselves. Here was an opportunity to go, if you would like to talk to different groups, like, feel free, connect with them. It's a really, it was such a fun environment.
It was.
Just surprises, so that's awesome. You can bring your friends with you so you don't have to feel like alone. And social media is great. People still crave that. Yeah, face-to-face interaction.
You could have just had a cell phone number over each booth, were they, and say, you could, if you want, you can just stand there and text them.
That's a good idea.
I know, think about that next time.
Well, having had children who would sit in the back of the car with their friends and text each other, then, yeah, probably it is a way that...
But I mean, when you have memes, you need to send it through on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
what happened then? How many groups did you get? How many people did you get to turn up?
About 17 to 20 organisations and groups who came. So that was really cool. And then I don't even know how many
young people came.
It felt like a lot. It may not have been heaps. But we had that. It was a perfect day. So we had the outdoor area utilised as well as indoors. So it was fantastic. I'd say maybe between like 80 to 100 something. Really hard to gauge the number. Because I didn't even look outside, really. I was so busy, we were just like flitting around. It was awesome.
Do you think, I know, they did something, did you model it on the thing that they did for seniors in the library about all the different groups?
Keisha had identified that had what was it called again?
Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but it was absolutely packed out. Yeah, it was really packed out.
She said it was really
had about 60 different groups. Yes, it was. They had some people trying to perform, but there were so many people in there it made it difficult. But yeah, that's. I think they're planning to do that again. So, do you think? Well, I suppose yours has died now, isn't it? Because it's a different group of future leaders with a different project.
I would love if it was something like someone else picked it up.
Yeah,
you know, we've got information. We've got a process that we kind of went through. But I think that, I know there's lots of different expos, however this was something that was so engaging and very interactive, it wasn't just, we were like, we don't want to just have here the flyer, and like interact with us, have fun.
Have a conversation.
Yeah, have a conversation, so well, we'd love if it continued, but we're not partaking this year, and this year's Future Leaders is a new year, they will look at
something different.
So is there any continuity from one year to the next? Are you sort of obliged, having done it one year, you're obliged to step back and leave it for another group? Or?
They're all about stepping on the next year as well.
If you wanted to, and even if not as a future leader, as a volunteer or even employed by them in one way or another.
Yeah. They're amazing at keeping that connection and, you know, through social media channels as well. They're not like, oh, okay, you've had your time.
Goodbye.
Stay engaged, you know. How can we support you? And
So this is the umbrella organisation that, that oversees. And they're doing a lot of other things, are they?
They are always on the go. It's just incredible. They really bring a lot to New Zealand and young people.
So what sort of things are they doing?
So Festival for the Future would be a really big one. That started 2016, something like that. And it's just an epic 2.5 days of workshops and
guest speakers
and panels talking about issues that a lot of younger people are concerned about, and actually generally most New Zealanders are concerned about. So they allow you to be in a really amazing space to have your voice and to listen to others, and really good interaction. So that they have every year. That's not just for young people. Yeah. It tends to be the main demographic, but it is for open for all people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Even the pale, male, and stale.
We'll stick some paper in your mouth, but I'm sure it'll come. No, we are definitely, especially we want to have as much diversity as possible. It's really amazing because you have councils who'll send their youth councils to festivals. So it was in Wellington last year, and we'll be in Wellington again this year.
Okay.
Oh, we absolutely loved it. Like,
So it's not something held in Palmerston North. It's one central.
No. So Inspiring Stories is based in Wellington. And the Future Leaders Program, which they established, is held, like we said, in 8 different areas in New Zealand. Those are the provincial or rural areas that don't often get the support. They're not the first place because they're not always financially a viable location.
Yeah.
And but the people that we met last year from these different areas are incredible and go-getters and so supportive of their community.
And you're still in contact with them? Or?
Yeah. Mostly, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, okay. So how many years has it been going in Palmerston North?
Three years this year. And it's changed dramatically every year.
So what were the projects before?
That's a great question.
I don't know either, but last year was the first year there was 250 future leaders all up around New Zealand. But prior to that,
they only had like kind of catalyst future leaders. So they hadn't established a difference.
Yeah.
They really supersized it last
year. Yeah, so it went from like 16 to 250.
So young people are really keen to get into this, and a lot of them would be working age people, or people in work, or students?
It's a lot of students.
A lot of students.
University students, or
high school?
High school students.
Okay. Yeah, which is really cool. It's a good space. And it shows something quite different. And I mean, especially being a year long, pretty much a year long program, very different than just being a weekend or something like that.
But that's cool. You just grow awesome relationships with all these people. And I feel like most of them are going to be pretty much lifelong friends now because we've continuously.
I mean, we only met last year.
We act like we've known each other forever.
So do you think then that the people who got involved in that would move on to sort of social type activities or try to use their skills in business type environment? Any idea?
No idea. Every person's journey is their own. I believe that doing something like this will always allow you to continue to have that open mind, because I think no matter what you get into, you should have that social aspect to it. So if you're creating a business, you should be, am I ethical, sustainable, you know, what am I contributing to my community, what am I giving back, what am I giving to the world? You know, I think that we're really pushing for that these days. We expect a lot from businesses of people we're going in there, but otherwise how can I connect with the community more? I have no idea. It'd be quite exciting to see where people go.
So now the business side, I mean, given that you look at saying leaders are maybe entrepreneurs and so on, but something that I've observed in my lifetime is, whereas even historically in this area, you get a lot of small businesses that were sort of viable. Now it's far more merged into few national or multinational companies and far more people being employees and so on. I don't know if you're aware of the change. I've seen the transition into that. But you have, if people are thinking showing initiative, are they thinking go it alone and build something up? Or is it more you get into a large organisation with resources and work your way up and see if you can get that?
Entrepreneurship is huge. Yeah. It is the buzzword. Nowadays, I feel like you're not successful unless you're an entrepreneur. It is just everything. And I personally, what I see in my world, it's just like, okay, if you want to do something with your life, become an entrepreneur, grow your own business.
Your own small business sort of structure?
Yeah.
Which will then grow over time. And it's with the social media, huge outreach now to places around the world. For me, I love being part of something. I prefer seeing something, being part and growing something from the ground. I don't need to be the idea, but I think a lot of people like to collaborate now as I'm just surrounded by so many small businesses. You've got some real large ones, but when we see that they don't have always the same social impact, that's what we see a lot more now, like entrepreneurs. It's like, what are we doing for our communities? What is our social impact? Whether it's the environment, whether it's Okay. Actually, a lot of things around women's health now too, and a lot of social enterprises.
Yeah.
So you think small businesses have the resources to fund social activities locally? Or?
Depends.
Can you give some example? I mean, if you know the people you know want to be entrepreneurs, what sort of things are they trying to do?
Well, I think about some really amazing ones we got to meet in Festival for the Future. There was one called Dignity. So they're a social enterprise, and they have larger, and this is where it's still beneficial having really large corporations who purchase women's sanitary products, and they have that within women's bathrooms in their workplace, so they can support their women at work, as well as when they purchase one, they give one, and whatever they purchase will then go to schools. So it's amazing, and I mean, they're still viable enough, they're still making money, Dignity, however, they're also supporting a lot of the...
Oh, so you mean that they're working with large businesses who fund things that give them extra resources to...
They've got a product, large businesses buy their product, at the same time, they're then giving that same product to someone else. So the business is pretty much buying the product twice. Someone else as well as themselves.
Yeah.
So we have the same Eat My Lunch.
That's
amazing. Again, another social enterprise. People buy a lunch for themselves, and a child at a school gets a lunch. And it is huge in New Zealand. It's really taken off. It's amazing. So you're like, you get to feed yourself and someone else. And there are a lot of young people, kids at school who can't afford to have lunch. So, really, people are creating these businesses to really help true issues within their communities.
So you think at the moment there's probably low-hanging fruit that you could tap into. Do you see there's a lot of scope for this to grow a lot more?
Yeah, I think so. And what aspect do you mean? Like, do you think that the king will turn into...
Well, if for example you've got larger businesses that are actually, by buying the product, they're subsidising the other activities... If everybody was these small businesses trying to do something good, you don't have the large businesses there to fight. And there's a ceiling. They might say, well, we're supporting this, and we can't go any further.
A lot of these businesses are, let's just think, Eat My Lunch. That's not about corporations supporting it. That's just every person. Dignity, their biggest consumers would be larger organisations, because that's showing they're supporting their own staff as well as communities. But I've no doubt people themselves can purchase like monthly packs, and then that also, like, I could buy myself, maybe I'll need some sanitary products, so I will purchase a monthly subscription, and then I'll also be helping someone else. So it's not, corporations they also nowadays love their branding, want to look good, supportive, so they're key, people want to go to them, but I think they'll grow on their own because everyday people are wanting to support.
Now, something else very interesting, though, is that often you get things produced in a factory, transported, warehouse, so on and so forth, and the retail outlet basically doubles the price before they sell. So do you find these organisations, if they say, we're just going direct to the people who are using it, they don't have that extra overhead cost or the need for the revenue, so they could afford this? Or two for one, it becomes the same price as if the companies had bought the products from a normal retail outlet? Is that what they find, or are they dearer?
Most of them aren't actually too much dearer. And if I think about clothes industries, nowadays we look at a lot more, I prefer to either purchase secondhand, or I'll go and buy from a store that makes their clothes ethically and sustainably, so the workers are getting paid.
Place? Is it called Yellow Bird?
Yeah, Yellow Bird. That's amazing.
They do awesome work. So... I don't know where they're based.
In India, I believe, is where the clothes are made, but it's from organic materials. The people are actually
paid at a good rate.
Yeah, they're in a decent environment. They're not fingers and parts of their body aren't coming off. You're a human, you're going to be treated as such.
But because she came and talked to us at Ryla, I think. And she was just talking. Yeah, so what makes it more real for her is she actually travels over there all the time and visits all her work, like all the people working there, and builds relationships with them, and that's what she said, that's what makes it, is she can actually see the other side, and then they're getting paid well, and it all gets sent over here, and
And this clothes, might be $70-$80. However, you are like, you can still buy pay that much for other places, which don't contribute the same. And they have that huge markup. Well, I think they'll probably still have markup because they need to be able to make money and pay their stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's still quite as bad.
Yeah.
And there's the ethical fashion guide that just came out, so you can check that out, and that will tell you where people are sitting on the scale.
Yeah.
And though some people don't even want to talk about what their processes
are. So there's company ratings now, are
they? Yeah, they've done it for a few years, and the new one just came out. So find it online. Tier Fund, I believe, have done it. So, I mean, looking at some companies you purchase from, it's a D+, because they don't, and it's also thinking about what waste you create with your products, the water waste, the contamination within water, so the environmental impact, people, so are you ethical, and also those especially who have makeup products, are they treating them on animals? You know, what's the animal cruelty look like? So they've got a really good range, and the expectation on businesses to be caring for and thinking about the whole, and being transparent about their whole process is really huge.
Okay. So right now there's a lot of talk about climate change and fake news and distorted information and things, but from the way you're talking, are you very positive about the future?
Yes or no? It all depends on the government when you think about the big things. I'm super grateful for who we've had at the moment and the focus we've had. But those are issues that are important to me, climate change, if they're being ethical and sustainable. And
but you're talking about a younger generation that wants to get engaged and push some of these things forward.
Absolutely. And I mean, look at the school strike for climate change.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Got to be there a bit for in Palmy. Like, that was just these young people who are like, we have a voice, let us use it. And the space has been created. Unfortunately, that's not everywhere in the world. And it's cool when our own councils support that too. But Gail, what about you? What are your thoughts? I keep speaking a lot because I have too many thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you've got children. Do you think you're bringing children into a world that's going to be better for them? They'll have a better life?
I definitely worry about them. I suppose, government's a big thing, but I think us as individuals, we've all been conditioned to live individual lives, and everybody wants to benefit themselves. And I think it actually starts within. It starts with our own mindsets and reconstructing how we view things, and that's where I think the change will begin. That's my opinion.
Very good.
But what about you both? You know, when you're being...
Well, we're actually at time now. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.